The Soviet Union is helping Iraq strengthen its oil, power, transport, and communications industries with irrigation in agriculture, and so on. And thanks to the Soviet help, said Iraq, help completely, new state-controlled industries have been created, but due to the Soviet help. It has helped Iraq build over 100 projects, of which 47 are already in operations, including chemicals and farm machinery factories. At many such enterprises, thousands of yesterday's peasants are working alongside Soviet experts, providing valuable experience for a nation trying to rid itself of backwardness and poverty and build a new life free from exploitation. Besides this, many Iraqi students are studying in Soviet colleges, technical schools, and higher schools of learning, universities, and many have already gone back to help their country's economic development. On April 9, 1972, a treaty of friendship and cooperation was signed in Baghdad for 15 years, opening a new page in Soviet-Iraqi relations. It is making a substantial contribution both to Iraq's social and economic reforms and to the Arab people's struggle against imperialism and capitalism. This is a bit of good news on from Moscow, where there has been some news of concern. Of course, the West, the capitalist West, has been greatly concerned about Iraq and have caused the number of terrorist activities against their embassies in France and Britain, because Iraq, of course, has been pushing the Arab League to refine their own oil and cut out the middleman refineries in USA, which would destabilize, if not cause, the U.S. economy to completely collapse. Also, they've been calling upon the Arab nations to build their own weapons so they would not be dependent upon USA. But Iraq had had some difficulties with the Soviet Union because Iraq has been backing the Eritreans in the Ethiopian-Eritrea dispute, and Iraq also is calling for the complete dissolution, a complete elimination of Israel, and which the Soviet, on that subject, the Soviet Union said it was ridiculous to think in those terms because of the realities of nuclear war that could come from it. And there's also, according to Freedom of Information Act, revelations that the CIA does have evidence that the Israelis have a nuclear bomb. Thus ends the giving of news on local and international scene. There are perhaps just a few last comments on our own Republic of Guyana situation. Dr. Reed, in a speech called by the Chronicle Avant-Garde, calls for radical change to socialism in the world economy to stave off starvation. Dr. Reed said, every 4 seconds, some child, woman or man, dies of starvation. This inhumanity cannot be allowed to continue. Guyana condemns USA for trying to manipulate the sugar market to help destabilize the Guyanese economy. But the government of Guyana goes on to give assurances that the number of treaties that they have been able to effect with the People's Democratic Republic of North Korea, East German Democratic Republic, also other members of the socialist bloc, will enable them, and due to the fact that they have nationalized 90% of their means of production and distribution, to withstand any kind of effort to overthrow the Guyanese government by economic maneuvering. Warrant out for passport accused. Principal magistrate On Fung Ki Fung issued a warrant for the arrest of a man who was accused of forging a Guyana passport after he had failed to attend court to stand trial. He is Tulsi Ramsprad of Zealandia, Wakanam. It is alleged that on August 1, the defendant, with intent to deceive, forged the passport that was issued to one Vishu Ramkasun, purporting to be his. The matter will come up for report at a later date. Conviction on such a charge would carry only 1 year sentence. In a further house cleaning of Guyana's leadership, the housing chief in the cabinet, housing administrator Samuel Dre, who 2 days ago complained that he was embarrassed by an opposition question in Parliament about his protracted period of leave, was yesterday charged with $100,000 fraud involving Guyanese government funds. It seems that our good Prime Minister, Dr. Forbes Burnham, is not going to stop until white-collar crime at even the highest level has been brought to justice. And when Day appeared in court together with field auditor, Guyanese auditor, finance auditor for the government, Richard Butts, his lawyer, told Magistrate On Fung Ki Fung that he had been sent on leave for 1 year while investigations were taking place, but up to now the investigations were not complete. Mr. Peter Britton, who is associated with Mr. Odell Adams, for the two accused, charged that the police were still not certain what Day was to be charged with, and he asked for reasonable bail. The principal magistrate, who had earlier read out the indictable charges accusing Day, Butts, and contractor Milhud Ali of conspiring to defraud government of $114,380.50, fixed bail in the sum of $15,000 each. Day, who assumed duties only on August 3rd last year, and Butts was told to return to court on September 15, but the magistrate issued a warrant for the arrest of Ali, who is reported to have fled the country. Detective Inspector Gentle, who laid the charge, told the court it was alleged that Day issued a contract to Ali when he was not authorized to do so. This is now the 30th person in high level, including 2 members of cabinet, who have been indicted for crimes against the people. It's an obvious fact that Guyana would not be moving more capitalistic when they have come down on some of their more moderate, and in fact those who have been arrested are almost for the total pro-USA, giving one the feeling that indeed Guyana intends to be on the socialist course and maintain it. Well, the lights have gone off, so that means that I will not be giving you any more news to speak of. I had a few notes from my mind, but I do remember that the Women's Revolutionary Socialist Movement plans a special kind of market day to help provide new schools, new technical schools, live-in schools like we have in Port Kaituma, based on the Cuban concept. I want to tell you that we cannot be grateful enough for the tremendous detail that Comrade Don Freed provided us of the conspiracies at the highest levels against our own friend Martin Luther King, who had the pleasure of knowing and talking to very intently when we were jointly awarded by the Midwestern city that I served as the Director of Human Rights Commission awards for our service to the cause of black people. We are very grateful that Don Freed is on the case and his committee is pursuing and have such invaluable evidence that least reveals to the sensitive world that indeed Martin Luther King was not killed by one lone nut, but in fact was murdered by a conspiracy that included the FBI. There is still great discussion on Radio Moscow about the China-Japan Treaty. You know, China had ratified last week the Peace and Friendship Treaty with Japan. But according to Radio Peking, the Soviets are sending out bellicose messages and warning from Moscow that China is endangering the peace of Asia, and the USSR assures her she will suffer consequences. Indira Gandhi, as I recall in my mind from the news and listening to many stations, as I said, all night since I have come back from the sessions with our comrade friend Don Fried, author who we are so fortunate to have in our midst, who has come up with some wonderful ideas on how to counter the conspiracy against us, our people. So I have to go somewhat by memory. I also recall President Carter expressed great worry over the decline of the U.S. dollar. He said that he was very deeply concerned over the declining dollar and has asked for a study by all cabinets of ways to deal with the situation. He said, the president said that he had asked Treasury Secretary, what's his name, Blumenthal, and the Federal Reserve Board Chairman, Miller, I believe, to consider what actions might be appropriate on their part and to recommend any possible future actions on the president's part to deal with the worsening situation. The dollar, as you know, has been declining rapidly, especially in relation to the Japanese yen and the Swiss franc in the past many weeks. Big businessmen are supporting Portugal's prime minister designate, which is discouraging. International Monetary Fund manipulations has brought apparently an end to a truly independent socialist government. A top Gaisuco official has also been charged with fraud. There is a commission probing the textile mills also to see that there's not any abuses. A genuine, strong emphasis upon revolutionary change by eliminating corruption. Guyana and Jamaica have been heralded by Habana Radio for leading the way with Cuba to revolutionary change within Latin America and the Caribbean. The Panamanian government has moved towards a more progressive course also and indicted the USA, its imperialist efforts in Zaire, its imperialist designs on Rhodesia against the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front. The Guyana Broadcasting Studio said this morning that no one can deny that Guyana and her sister progressive nations, Jamaica and Cuba, are being regarded by other world progressives as leaders of revolutionary change within the Latin American and Caribbean region according to the most objective socialist conditions. Of course, the youth of Guyana have come back from the 11th World Festival of Youth and Students just ending in Cuba, and they came back with the deepest inspiration that the world is moving towards socialism and hopeful that the USA will cease its imperialism before it brings about a nuclear holocaust. I do think that is the last that I can think of that had any real merit in news. There has come a strong unity effort between the Hindu, Muhammad, Muslim and Christian sects in Guyana towards building more cooperatives this is the one country I've seen that is genuinely ecumenical in that regard. Very little prejudice exists between religions, and so little racism when you stop to consider the immense differences of religion and six major ethnic groups. It's an amazingly cosmopolitan and unified country. This definitely will be the last of the news. King's killer charges that FBI conspiracy. It was a conspiracy in the murder. James Earl Ray, the convicted killer of Dr. Martin Luther King, according to Guyana Broadcasting Studios, has publicly protested his innocence and said he had a great deal or a great deal of evidence of the FBI complicity in a conspiracy to murder the civil rights leader. Ray, as you know, is now 50 years of age. He told a closely guarded meeting of the House of Representatives Assassinations Committee that has ended already that he was driving around Memphis, Tennessee, when the shooting occurred in the southern city some 10 years ago. James Earl Ray, as you know, has been sentenced to 99 years in jail, and he was sentenced at his trial in 69. He told the congressman yesterday, "My lawyer, Mark Lane, and his aides has just examined three FBI documents which provided further evidence of possible FBI, Memphis police, and other government complicity in a conspiracy to murder Dr. King." Of course, Comrade Fried, the tremendous author and his ingenious mind, has presented us clear-cut evidence, so this is not real news to us. Remember the fashion show. Remember that we will be getting bonuses for news, and we're to keep up with the news for evaluation in socialist classes and our humanist classes on Friday. Maintain good production. We have all sorts of people, particularly those in jails, who realize the destitution of the American system, as Don Fried put it so ably last night, the American disease. We have now over 200 prisoners, political prisoners, some who have been channeled through Dr. Moore, the Methodist superintendent who visited here and went home and has stoutly supported it on many lectures throughout the Methodist movement in which he is a participant, and has written all sorts of letters on our behalf, and more recently approached the district attorney of Los Angeles condemning the harassment that they're trying to do there based on lies and using two senile individuals to fraudulently claim that McIlvain had threatened them or extorted them to get their property, as we all remember how well we took care of them, and certainly they derive much more from our community, our church, than they ever put into it. We are hopeful that the findings of Don Fried and his remarkable investigation will be brought to light, and that some element of justice can come to the American scene that has tragically seen its greatest leaders shot down, thus causing a fear to grip the mood of America, at best an apathy, at worst and disinterest. But it is a tragedy when you consider that two Kennedys, Malcolm, Martin Luther King, and nameless others, countless others I should say, have been killed, and still nothing has been done about it. So we shall continue our struggle here, and our struggle on the state side. And remember, we have our responsibilities, you know of, in Africa, and all over for the world liberation struggle. Remember, as Dr. Reed, our good friend and head of the People's National Congress, the Vanguard Party in Guyana, and Deputy Prime Minister that every 4 seconds, 1, 2, 3, 4, someone just died of starvation, and so often it's a child. We have a debt. We can repay that debt for the years we sucked on the blood of America, the vampire that was taking the riches of the world. But we took the few leftovers. Years ago, when I wanted to go to jail and make a strong tax protest, some were not up to it then. But even though I did it for you and went ahead and paid my taxes so that we could come to the maturity that I think we've begun to have, a readiness for anything, to stand for our beautiful nonviolent socialist principles at whatever cost, we did pay those taxes. We did live and use some of those consumer products. We do have the blood on our hands too, and we can't wash away the spots, but we can compensate and make up for those years by building a haven, a sanctuary for people who are harassed, so that later, one day, even if it's on the ashes of war, they can go back and rebuild, or can go, in case Holocaust is averted, to help in a struggle when there's a readiness in U.S. mood, or for those who want to go on to Africa and other parts of the world, or this continent, to help bring liberation. It will be possible if we work and do our best. Remember to write your criticism up of me, group criticisms. We welcome it. That's the way we grow. But do not talk about your comrade behind their back. That's a community principle that we require be maintained. It's a beautiful feeling to be in a community where you know there's not gossip. Stop waste and come up with any creative idea on how to make money and how to save it, because you will be saving lives in so doing. I love you very, very dearly.